and welcome to Real Geeks. I'm Crash and Burn, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
And I've been trying to get this review in for two consecutive prides, so by God, this is going to work.
Yes, that's right. I've definitely been... I'd like to say that this has been done because you're trying to get me back for Hairspray, or in pre-vengeance for the film that will end this Pride series. But no, you have actually, yeah, we have recorded this a few times again. Yes, it happened again. And this was one of those recordings that previously in video format, everything went wrong. Like everything went to hell. Audio would just wander off and do its own thing, completely separate from the video. I would try to put clips from the movie in, and for some reason it would crash. It would just full on crash. Never did it for anything else, mind you. This film and our show have a long standing curse. And so tonight, either I'm going to get a face full of acid, or we're actually gonna finish this fucking thing. And then I'm probably gonna get a face full of acid.
I mean, at least it's not Dreamscape levels of, oh, Jesus Christ. But at the same time, the effort that we have put in to try to review this film. Now, this will make sense a little later on, but this review is essentially our nightmare realm experience.
Yeah. And to be fair, to be entirely clear, I had an idea completely separate from this, but you just brought it up. In which we do a show that is just Dreamscape reviews. It's just reviewing Dreamscape as if we never reviewed Dreamscape again. And it's like a 12-part series, just Dreamscape. And it never covers any new ground. It's just the same fucking review. Anyway, this is not Dreamscape. Thank God we're not that far low. No, this is the 2017 Carmilla movie based on a YouTube series, or based on a web series that was based on an 1872 yep. Gothic novella by Joseph Sheridan Le Fanu.
A cruel love, a strange love, has taken my life.
Happy anniversary, faithful viewers.
Welcome back, Grandpa.
Carm, what are you doing?
Hey, it's me.
Laura, your neck.
What is going on?
Carmilla's spark is going out.
And in the meantime, Carm just keeps randomly vamping out? What are we supposed to do about that?
We go back to the scene of the crime.
It's a lovely example of a 19th century schloss.
Let's search this place.
For a girl who died 150 years ago?
Haunted house! Totally called it! Oh, run, weirdo!
Did you think you'd get away with it?
Did you really think there'd be no consequences?
I missed this.
Dope.
This goes Romeo and Juliet on us. I'm totally gonna haunt your ass.
Of course you are.
The original Carmilla web series, I think the best way that I could put it would be if you took Veronica Mars and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, mix them together in this just enjoyably light, fluffy cake, and then sprinkled some Welcome to Night Vale over top of it to give it just that little bit of weird. Essentially, it centered around the character of Laura Hollis, played by Elise Bauman, who was recording these web videos for a journalism project about the weirdness at school. Most predominantly, the dean trying to feed the entire student body to a large anglerfish god.
Oh, come on. Everyone's heard that. Who hasn't gone to public school? I mean, fuck.
There's vampires, werewolves, frat boys, sometimes combinations of the three. Various forms of mutant fungus. And that's just frat parties. Sentient library, so on and so forth. And, of course, the titular vampire Carmilla, played by Natasha Nega-Vanlis, who is the daughter of the dean and involved in a conspiracy to kidnap young virgin girls to feed to the anglerfish god.
As you do.
And so over the course of three seasons of Insanity and a cameo from Keith Morris himself as Laura's father, which is a casting story I'm still dying to hear. We skip ahead 5 years to the Carmilla movie, where Laura has now become a journalist. Laugh and Lola, their friends have their own kind of supernatural exterminator company. Everybody's...
They're Ghostbusters. When I grew up, I want to be a Ghostbuster. And they actually did it.
They're Ghostbusters, bums. But if you all add in that they were the ones who invented products from True Blood.
Yeah. Yeah. This whole thing is a wonderful pastiche of every bit of corny, dramedy horror of the last 15 years.
Really, yeah. And
I'm not saying that in a bad way. I just mean, like, if you like any of that, any aspect of that, you will find something in this. And you'll be like, oh, that's sweet. Oh. You may not find enough of it. Like, I love those two, and I would have really preferred a film about their hijinks. That's just pure taste, though. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying they created such great secondary characters in this. That's like, okay, cool. So we're going to follow them, right? No? Oh. We're going to follow the characters who are the mains in the previous stuff? I mean, I understand. It's predictable. I'm just saying. Yeah. You could have been brave and gone after your side character. I'm just saying. Anyway, carry on.
I mean, not that we're not a little bitter or anything, but
No.
I hate to be doing this, but spoilers for the end of the web series, where after all is said and done, Carmilla has been transformed from a vampire to a human. And
it's a little hard to call spoiler when, like, in the first minute of the film that we're reviewing, it says, oh, by the way, this has happened. You have to know this for the whole plot to make sense. I mean, like, I'm sorry. If you reach a point where a thing you are watching has like a sequel or a movie that goes outright, here's the ending of the show, because you need to know that, it's no longer a spoiler. It's no, that's like common fucking knowledge at that point. It's necessary. The Death Star blows up. Both of them.
Spoiler for those who decide to watch the web series before the movie, which, as we've established, you don't have to. Magical spark that has given Carmilla her humanity is starting to go out. And she's becoming a vampire again. And they have to figure out what's happening, how to stop it. There's a traveling back to Europe via Indiana Jones map. And from there you get a nice little bottle movie where, yes, the budget shows, but it's so goddamn adorable you don't care.
Yeah, and it goes places. It's quite brave. Like, you know, cheesy. Oh my god, is it cheesy? But this is, yeah, this is brave, like an episode of Stargate One that just goes, "Hey, watch me do a flip," and it does it in front of you, and you go, "Why'd you just do that?" It goes, "Because you watched me." And it's just, "Oh, you motherfucker, you did. You enticed me in with just the stupidest shit, and I watched it, and yeah, that was pretty well done, pretty fucking good." This is a great film that essentially is just a bunch of madness that spirals out of the inevitability of lesbian bed death. And that's all. That's all it really is. She's, after a couple of years in a relationship, she's starting to kind of want to be like she used to be. She's not feeling the spark anymore. Oh yeah? What's that mean? Oh, is this a theme? Oh, cool. Does this movie have themes? Hey, what was it? Was it mean that they're both together and women? Is that a thing? Is that a theme to this?
Teeny tiny little bit of a thing, yeah. Just a dash of a theme.
Wait a minute. Is this a gay thing? this is a film that it wears everything on its sleeve, but its sleeve is like the 30-year-old leather jacket of a metalhead who goes to every show every night. It is covered in simply everything, and none of it is subtle, and some of it smells very rank, but in that way where it's like, oh yeah, that's proper.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly how that's supposed to smell.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like,
this is wonderful fucking cheese. I am, only because of when it was shot and all that, is the only reason that I completely understand why this did not appear in, like, late night on space in the late 90s. Like, this should have been their fucking jam. Yeah. If not late night on space, definitely evening on Showcase.
As much as you're joking, in all seriousness, how this wouldn't have gotten funding from something like Showcase, or even like the CBC, because like I know Shaftesbury, I think the production company is, has done a lot of stuff for the CBC.
Yeah. And I could see the CBC just not doing it because they're like, oh, it's not big tent pole enough. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, God, you're so milquetoast about committing resources to those kinds of things. But Showcase would have been all over it if they were in their heyday when they were throwing money at any Canadian production that had some tits in it. Tastefully, by the way.
Yeah.
Not gratuitous. This is Showcase. This is dramatic tits. Great acting, incredible tits. this neon drenched sexcapade would have been on right before Oz. Like they would have pushed this like you wouldn't fucking believe. Carmilla, Oz, Red Shoe Diaries. That's the night on Showcase.
You know what? At the same time, though, like it is so comedic that I don't know that it would fit in that lineup.
Oh, Oz was fucking hilarious until someone's, like, you know, throat gets slashed. That's a very fucking funny show. And quite frankly, you want to see comedic timing? One, this requires alcohol. But two, get slightly shit-faced, but have some booze left. And go watch The Red Shoe Diary. And anytime David Duchovny starts laying down his game, drink. And it becomes funnier and funnier when like you start grooving to it. You know, it's like none of it's sexy, but it's like David Duchovny, you're getting your fuck on, buddy. It's like getting drunk and watching Californication again, or the supreme of all drunk fuck premium television games, watching Big Love with a 2-4 beer, and every time you see Bill Paxton's ass, and it happens a lot, you throw back an entire can. You will be 3 episodes deep and 10 sheets to the fucking wind. Anyway. Showcase gave me a lot of great memories and a lot of fuzzy memories, too. And that's not including the Appletini Nights to Sex in the City. Sweet fucking Jesus.
Now, all I'd say, though, again, Showcase, if it gets us more Carmilla, could you please start throwing money at Shaftesbury, please?
Oh, I'm pretty sure Showcase doesn't have money anymore. They just, like... They just host things. They don't invest anymore.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, most of CTV's channels that are not CTV are basically, we have the rights to this, but we didn't have anywhere else to put it.
Yeah, I mean, like, anytime I pass by Showcase now, they've got the flash on.
Yeah.
It's like, there's not nearly enough, at the very least, side boob in the flash. Gay? Sure. Certainly. Not enough boob.
Oh, but anyway, to get back to the actual Carmilla movie.
Oh, we're talking about that again?
Yeah, you remember what the episode was about?
Ah, crap.
Oh, there's a lot of little things that they do that I was just like, thank you. I appreciate how you did that. Like how the movie essentially opens with Laura recording a web vlog, and it's shot in the same style as the original web series. But that little thing of how they switch from the single camera web series style to the multi-camera cinematic style is when Carmilla comes in and closes Laura's laptop to end the recording.
And thank God they did. I mean, I understand that the original entire show was in that vlog style, yeah. Right? Good sweet Lord. Have you ever sat through one of those vlog style horror movies?
No, I have not, because amazingly enough, it was the Blair Witch Project both originated the found footage style and turned me off the found footage style.
Yeah, and these are even worse, because found footage, at least, like, okay, it's a camera, you are out in the middle of the woods for the most part,
yeah.
Whatever. At least you can get some cool scenery. sweet God, Jim, Jesus. Vlog entries, it's usually just the same background and the same person, or the same couple of people, for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and you're trying to get invested in the storyline. But it breaks the whole goddamn narrative apart, and by 15 minutes you just want to quit and go watch literally anything else. So I'm so happy that they broke off into a more typical, quite frankly, I'm going to say it, late 90s high caliber sitcom.
Yeah.
Camera. Like this has got some Malcolm in the Middle level of television shooting. It's you're not coming here to see like Orson Welles style filmography, but like to go from a vlog to what this did, that is a very intentional, clear, and as you said, like deliberately cut and layered step. The laptop is closed. Welcome to the
exactly.
Movie. We have a set. We've got two sets. We have three sets. My God. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. And that webcam style, if you have the right cast, it can work in a series format. And in a
yes.
film?
Oh, absolutely.
No.
A series format. Short works for it. But yeah, movie, no. No, and it looks pretty. They knew exactly what they wanted to do for the color scheme of this and the shots and everything is so, like, I completely believe that they do work for, like, CTV and CBC and whatever, because this is not as amateur as you would assume a film based on a web series could be. This is quality. Professional. Really nice looking. Really, really nice. Like, this is heck. It meant something more years ago, especially when this film was made. But this is a Canadian Joss Whedon movie. Joss Whedon, to be clear, had nothing to do with this goddamn thing. But, when looking at the way the characters interplay, the dialogue, the way that they're kind of like the relationships, but also the form of shooting, it's very Whedon-esque in a good way. In a way that I think people, like the people who made this, hoped he was.
Yeah.
And then it turned out he wasn't. But this movie is quite valid and 100%. 100%.
I was just going to say, like, I think this is the Joss Whedon product after it outgrew Joss Whedon.
Yeah, this is what fans of Joss Whedon make in frustration and disapprovement of the once fallen art dickhead. I had to insult him.
Oh yeah, no. It's I've seen but that. I've read that interview where he tried to defend himself, and no, insult away.
Yeah. Fucking dickhead. Nothing involved with this film, but the creators of this had a vision, and that vision started, as you say, I feel, with Buffy, and grew from there.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you know, a good deal of, like, I want to say Beetlejuice. Possibly Beetlejuice. Maybe
Beetlejuice. The campy humor element. I say Welcome to Night Vale just because of the weird sarcasticness of it. But there's also that campier element where, yeah, I could see Beetlejuice.
Oh, wait, no, I know exactly what. It's almost like the bizarre, unexpected middle ground, but because it's a Canadian production, I could completely see it happening. The new Addams Family. Do you remember that live-action Addams Family from, like, around 2000?
Oh, vaguely.
Yeah, that was shot in Canada. Most of the cast was Canadian and all that. And it's like, oh, I wonder if some of the people from that production had to do something with this, because it has like the same sarcastic pop goth to it.
I would say that would be possible. I think it also could be another, they were fans of that and that influence kind of seeped in.
Yeah. But if you like, like skulls wearing pretty pink, hair clips, this kind of movie is for you. This is like pop goth, bubblegum goth.
Yeah.
It's delightfully vampy. And obviously it's a vampire. But no. Like, some vampire movies don't get it. You have to vamp. It's an excuse to vamp, and they have a terrific cast. The actress who plays Carmilla is really, really good at like, I'm pretty sure you're a vampire. I'm pretty sure they just like, there was a film about 20 years ago, about the making of Nosferatu, and in it, Willem Dafoe plays Nosferatu. Yeah. And, it's like, oh, well, we tried to hire an actor, for this vampire, but we couldn't find one, but we found a vampire. So we're going to pretend he's an actor. And it's like, I would completely believe that in this sense. She's quite good at what she does. And what she does is, like, very sexy creepy.
Oh, yeah. And...
but also mixed with, like, hints of Donna. Maybe Donna in Orange is the New Black, where it's like, oh, you're actually playing with a little bit of character there, but, like, you're lovable, but I also really can't trust you, can I? I mean, I'm gonna pay for that, aren't I? It's a leap of faith that every time I scrape my knee on, and you just go, that's part of the relationship, baby!
Oh, yeah, no. And, so just to quickly go through the entire cast this time. The movie, of course, stars Elise Baumann as Laura Hollis, Natasha Negovantlis as the just-mentioned Carmilla Karnstein, Halifax's own Annie Briggs as Lola Perry, Caitlin Alexander as La Fontaine, Nicole Stamp as Mel, who we're going to get back to Mel, Dominic Provo-Chalkley from Wynonna Earp, as Carmilla's ex-girlfriend, Elle Sheridan, who, we're going to get back to her. Gracelyn Kong and Cara G as the Bronte sisters, and Matt O'Connor as Kirsch. And after that, it's basically, if you appeared in the original web series, you were going to be in this movie in some capacity, even if it's just for, like, a scene or two.
Yeah, this is, as you said, I think, in the previously Lost review, one of them, very much a love letter to the fans of the series. Like, it's not a complete departure. It's not a reboot or anything. I mean, it is a complete departure from, the format. But it's not like a reboot. It's not like, oh, we found the money, so fuck you, fan base. No, this is a love letter to everyone who watched the original series.
Yeah, and also speaking of everyone who watched the series, I think this movie may have had the single ballsiest financing method I've ever heard of. Which is...
extortion?
Okay, the single ballsiest legal method of financing that I have ever heard of.
Oh, credit fraud. Okay.
just because of how, if I remember correctly, they financed most of the film by selling copies of the film to the fans before they had copies of the film.
Yeah, like in any other business, this is a goddamn Ponzi scheme. Like, fuck you. That's insane. You're selling me futures on a film?
Yeah.
Just to own the film? Ooh, you skeezy. But it turns out that they were actually on the level and quite legit. And they spent every dime, seemingly, because it's a very pretty looking movie.
Oh, it absolutely is. And like I said, yes, it's very much a bottle movie where they predominantly really only have the one location and a couple other spots that they were probably able to film for, like, a day.
Yeah, like, there's a kitchen, there's a laboratory, but most of this takes place in, quote-unquote, a castle, or, quote-unquote, a mansion. It's ornate looking.
Yeah.
And there we find the Bronte sisters, which, oh, thank you, film, for letting me know that in their deaths, the Bronte sisters are suffering, just as I suffered having to read the Bronte sisters. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart. Fuck you, Charlotte.
Oh, and of course, Charlotte Bronte is the sister who sticks with us for most of the movie.
Yeah. She haunts me. Literally.
But, I mean, on the plus side, Charlotte's almost love story with Mel is... if yours is a very sarcastic sense of humor, you're going to find those two kind of adorable. I think a potential spinoff of this, like, I would love just Mel and Gertrude, a story of a girl and her crossbow.
I'd like that. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. There's so many spinoffs from this. I'm kind of amazed that they didn't get funding for at least a follow-up web series of some sort, like a mini series or something. Surely someone is throwing money at them. Probably not, right?
Well, I mean, that's possible. There could also be an availability thing. Like, if I remember correctly, Caitlin Alexander was producing and directing quite a bit of independent stuff, I think, after the movie was done.
Oh, I see. You do your campy nonsense, and then you're off to prestigious drama films. Ooh, art house. No one wants the neon hellscape anymore.
Oh, no, I do remember, I did look into this a few years ago, and no, it's prestigious camp.
Ooh, you're above this gutter theater camp.
But yeah, like this film is just adorable, and even if you were to complain about everything else in the movie, 9 times out of 10, you're there for Elise and Natasha's performances as Laura and Carm, and they're probably some of the most satisfying parts of the movie.
Yeah, they've got a lot of chemistry. And like, okay, I understand they've been working together for years, but there are some performers who work together for years as romantic opposites who don't have that kind of chemistry, and they just have it. It's natural. If you said that they dated at some point, I'd be like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
As far as I know, no. But if that at some point were to come out, yeah, that wouldn't really be a shock. But like, really, pretty much this entire cast, like between the web series and this, like, they have worked together for a long period of time, and that I think must have carried a lot of production.
Absolutely, like, and I think this was produced like super quickly, if I recall.
Yeah,
and you can see it because like, it's not rushed, but they know their characters and they're hitting their lines and their timing and everything. And it's like, I doubt that there was even many takes. I think that they just, you know, you stumble a few times, you find the rhythm and the timing, and you do the entire film. Like, it probably didn't take them long to find like, oh, right, back in my groove.
Yeah.
And everyone just goes, and it if I recall, it was something like obscene, like a few weeks to shoot this. And it's a full-length film.
Yeah. A full-length film shot in a few weeks, and that time period does not show.
No. No, it doesn't. I would believe that this was like a pretty decent, like, live action Disney net, like Disney Channel Halloween show, you know, like something that it's like, yeah, you can have an entire year to produce whatever you need. Here's a bunch of money. You know, it's a live action Disney Channel show from the late 90s, early 2000s. And you see that in like the campiness and the humor of the performances and like the non-threatening ghoulishness. Like, there's a lot of death in this, but none of it is like, you're gonna die, you know. None of it has that threatening ghoulishness. It's all rather silly and funny. It's the Great Pumpkin, you know.
Well,
and yeah, it has more heart and quality than anyone would expect for something that had to sell futures on a DVD.
Fuck. No, I don't think it was even DVD. I think it was just a digital release.
Oh, cheapo. I mean, granted, by 2017, what the fuck are you doing with a DVD? But it's nice to have the case.
I mean, true, but also, like, to be perfectly frank, There are some movies that I have discovered through just like the strangest methods. And with the Carmilla movie, it was literally, I just happened to randomly see it on a post on Facebook. Like, on Facebook ads actually are good for something.
I mean, like, aside from totalitarianism?
Yes, aside from that.
I like statistic outliers.
Because I saw that the Facebook ad for this movie, and it's one night only screening. And... oh, no, like,
one night only. You'll never hear about it again. One night.
It had a theatrical run for a single night, I think, across Canada. And
yeah, for awards purposes, for awards purposes, if I recall,
something like that, or just to get it out there as much as they could. One, I would like to take a moment to thank Annie Briggs for shouting out Halifax and Park Lane Theater specifically the night that the movie premiered. But two, I asked friends on Facebook, you know, like, this looks interesting to me. What is it? And then people told me about the web series. I went to check out the web series. I got about 3 episodes into the web series. So roughly about 8 minutes, give or take. And yep. I was like, sold. I'm in. And binged the entire web series in about 2, maybe 3 days before the movie. Went and saw the movie. Got home. Was on the movie's website buying the full package that night. I was like, I had a blast. Shut up and take my money.
And that's why you're not allowed to talk to the multi-level marketing people, Mike.
Oh, no, I am easily bought.
It is not a reverse funnel. It's a pyramid. It's a pyramid.
But if I may go back to your Disney Channel comparison for 2 seconds, because I was going to say that I would completely go with that, with one exception. And that one exception is every time Elle Sheridan was on screen.
Yeah, no, that suddenly things would go PG-13.
Oh, like, yeah. Dominic Provo-Chalkley is the single creepiest thing in this entire movie. And she looks like she is having the time of her life just chowing down on that scenery.
Oh, yeah. And there's the thing. It's not that it wouldn't fit with, like, Disney. It's a very Disney-esque performance. It's just a little too, like, oh my. Oh.
Oh, no. Okay. I think her work is what would move this from Disney over to Hulu.
Yeah. You get Disney Plus. Congratulations. In a good way. We'll even bump you up to star.
Oh, no, like, I mean, number one, if, like me, when I saw this in the theater, you had only seen her as sweet little Waverly Earp in the first season of Wynonna Earp. And going from that to this was beautifully, mildly traumatic. And I will also quite openly admit that As soon as she has her first line of dialogue, I was in the theater going, wait, she's British?
It's weird how they can hide that so well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that is an absolute credit to her because I legitimately had not known.
And, like, I had not seen, and I still have not, you know, there's a million things to watch.
Yeah.
It's the golden age of way too much shit. So I've still not seen Wynonna Earp or the original Carmilla series. There's so much to watch. Oh, there's so much to watch. So I didn't have that whiplash. I just had the pure enjoyment of like, ah, she's having quite a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Being essentially like a horror movie, like an almost Hammer horror stereotype. Like, there's levels and inspirations in there when, like, you could have just pantomimed your way through this and, like, half-assed for a check. But no one did. Everyone's having too much fun. But she's having the most too much fun.
Oh, yeah, no, like, she has been clearly told, yeah, go nuts. And she absolutely has, and especially, particularly, I think, in a lot of her scenes with Elise, it just balances perfectly.
Yeah, no, there's, as I said before, like, it's not only the leads. Everyone has good chemistry with each other. Like, even outside there's a lot of, like, twin sets in this of, like, ah, these two characters work well with each other. These two characters work well with each other. Ooh, these two characters. And it's like, okay, we get it. There's a lot of couples in this. You're all banging, but as couples. But it's very rare that you can get a writer who is capable of creating characters who you can pair off constantly. Like, okay, yeah, you've paired them off with their opposite, fine. But can you switch that? And can you switch that? And can you switch that? And this film shows that, yep, they're capable of doing that. They can keep flipping around the pairing. Because everyone's quite good. Everyone has a little bit of chemistry with each other to the point that, like, there's no moment when you're like, oh, my God. Can we leave these two, please? Or break them up. Or have them die. No, wait. If they die in this, they'll just come back. Shit.
Yeah, and also just to add to that, like, from a production standpoint, balancing all of those pairs cannot be the easiest thing in the world to do and make sure that each pair has enough screen time.
Yeah, and not only enough screen time, but, like, it's not just math. The plot actually moves. There is point to it.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, yes, now we are on grid C7, which means you and you have to be doing this. And it's like, but why? Why are we having this scene? Oh, because they need to have a scene together. No, that if it doesn't serve the plot, they don't. And some films can't accomplish that. And this film did. Again, it looks cheap, but it's so high quality. This is really well done.
Yeah.
For something that is so unabashedly low rent, feels like it's an insult, but it's not. But it feels like one.
Yeah, oh no, you know, it totally does, because, like, even every time you refer to it as cheap, I'm sitting here going, I can't, it looks so good that I just can't bring myself to agree with that.
Yeah, like, when I say cheap, it's a thing of, like, you know the cost. Like, I'm aware that the budget was very low. I think about the amount of time to shoot. I look at how, like, they made the most of the few sets they had. Those are very overly detailed sets. The lighting in this is all over the place in a good way. Like, they had goals, they had ideas, they had designs, and they didn't say, ah, we can't accomplish this because it costs too much money. They found a way. And take it from someone who makes their content as cheaply as possible. When I say this looks cheap but is great, that is me saying, like, holy fucking shit, you managed to make that, like, you managed to make that fucking Ford jalopy into a time machine that also flies. How did you do this? It's always, like, an incredible thing, you know. It's a feat of not only the skill, because you could have the skill and the money and accomplish it, but if you don't have the money, maybe you just don't have the vision and the creativity and the skill, you know, to bring it through. They do. You could give them a shoestring budget and they'll deliver something. So I would love to see what, considering how quote unquote cheap this is, what they could do with a large budget.
Oh, yeah. No,
and more than 3 weeks.
Yeah. I completely agree, because to be perfectly frank, about the only real complaint that I would have with this movie is, as satisfying by itself as it is, and in every element, like the acting, the production, even the soundtrack, I have never watched this movie without by the end of it just feeling like, I enjoyed that. My only negative is that I wish that they would have been able to do more.
It does also kind of have that feeling that you're in the middle of the franchise history of this, essentially. There's the first series that was just a web series, and then it made enough money and was popular enough to come up with like a B-grade movie of itself. And from there, that should have taken off, and they get some funding from Netflix or whatever, and they make a first season that is like, you know, probably ultimately a higher budget than even this movie. And like, that's what ultimately picks up with audiences.
Yeah.
That should have been the progress of this. And instead, unfortunately, it seemed to just, it dropped off relatively. But there's still hope. Well, not at Netflix anyway.
No.
Oops. But HBO? HBO?
Please?
HBO? You like tits? Come on, HBO. It's got vampires and tits. You like gay things? Come on, HBO.
Like you know, as long as it's not Netflix, I would be happy to just see this thing funded by someone who is not.
Have you considered
Netflix.
Dave Chappelle? Destroy.
As I said, not Netflix. Yeah, I think for me, the only thing is just things like I said, I wish that they could have done more. Like, one of the main plot points involves Elle essentially dumping everyone into a nightmare realm where Laura, like, slowly goes through the mansion, opening doors and freeing everyone from their nightmares. I wish we could have had a few scenes where we could have actually seen some of those nightmares. If nothing else, and if you have watched the original web series, you will understand what I mean when I say this. If nothing else, I would have liked to have actually seen Kirsch in the Adonis Hunt.
That'd be pretty funny. That whole thing had the same air of, not disappointment, but letdown, that like the hell scene, the hell nightmare sequence from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey has, where it's like, yeah, but that was really cool. Can we see more of that? No. Oh. Were there deleted scenes? Yes. Can I see those? No. Oh.
You can if you buy the full package, but.
Oh, I see. Yes. First, I have to invest in the acai berries, and then I have to sell them to my friends, and then they upsell their contacts to me, and then I upsell that to the guy I met from Fort Lauderdale, who totally has a connection in Cuba.
Also, I wish that they had a moment to finally acknowledge that I don't care what anyone says, Laura has dream-based psychic powers.
Which, like, another great excuse for a sequel that will unfortunately be never used. Like, the Dream Warrior. Ooh, what a concept. But no, We get peppered like a shotgun blast of delicious icing sugar with just little bits and pockets of wonderfulness that probably sting quite a lot, actually. But I want so many sequels from this. I want that to have launched off like four fucking shows. But no.
Oh, you know, like just give me more in some capacity. I don't care about more. I will happily take another low budget film because, I mean, yes, there'll be certain things that they can't do, but as I've often said in the past, you sometimes have to look at it from both that story perspective and the more practical perspective. Like that, I wish you had done this, but I get why you didn't.
And like, again, to be fair, this is not a film that made that sacrifice often.
No.
They tried everything they could to have their cake and eat it too. And when absolutely necessary, fine. At least they always made the choice of a better production over like something that just looked too bad or like, ah, oh, that suddenly dropped in quality. Like, oh, the dialogue just crapped the bed there. No, they always made the smart choice when they could have had a fit and been like, no. I want everything. And then what gets delivered is crap.
Yeah, no, there are so many just right choices here that for a vampire movie, this thing just makes me happier than it has any right to.
It's like Dracula 2000 all over again.
Except that this is better in every way.
I don't know. It doesn't have any shirtless Gerard Butler.
Except that this is better in every way.
Aw.
I mean, if shirtless Gerard Butler is your thing, fine. But we know why he's shirtless. And this does not have to resort to that.
What about seeing Hyde from that 70s show get killed brutally? How's that do you?
I mean, if I remember what I've heard about Danny Masterson correctly, I could go with that.
It's a sell! Someday we're going to do Dracula 2000. And it's going to be horrible. But yeah, I really enjoyed the Carmilla film for a movie that, like, again, this is your baby. I've not seen the series leading up to it. That's my fault, again. But I've seen this movie like four fucking times. And it's not reached the point where I'm like, sweet fucking Jesus, do I have to watch this again? I will watch this movie again at some point. And that'll be the fifth time I'm watching this movie. And I won't even have to do it. I won't even have to. So fuck.
Oh, you know, like, and for me, make no mistake, I've probably binged the entire web series at least three, maybe four times. I didn't get to complete it, but I was working on, I think, number five before this recording. I've seen this movie 5-6 times, give or take, and it is still just as comfort food satisfying every time.
Nice. Very good. Very good. It's always nice to have something like that.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, like, you have the adorable love story between the two lead characters, and like, you have Carmilla, who is someone that I should never meet in real life. Not because she's a vampire, but because we would totally be mutually sarcastic partners in crime. And like you said, there are so many potential spinoffs here. Again, Mel and Gertrude, the story of a girl and her crossbow, needs to be a thing.
Make it. Give them more money.
Film Carmentaries, where it's Carmilla going all Mystery Science Theater 3000 on public domain B horror movies. Like that's something that they have teased in the web series and in the film several times, and this needs to be an actual honest to God thing.
I mean, it'd be a decent way to revive Vampira / Elvira.
Also true.
Like a Canadian version, yeah.
I mean, like I said, there's just so much to play with, and I love this entire franchise to the point that as long as we're talking capitalism and commercials and pyramid schemes, I'm going to use my rating to just flat out tell you that you can go to carmillamovie.vhx.tv and you can buy like just the movie for $10. If for $14.99, you can get the movie, bloopers, alternate takes, and you can do what I did for $20 and get the digital download, a compilation of alternate takes, bloopers, cast commentary, closed captioning. For some reason, season 3 of the web series, I don't know why and I don't care. And I'm not 100% sure, but I got the green screen with Laura and Carm that was originally only shown theatrically, which is just the two of them messing around in front of a green screen, and is downright adorable, and you should go buy it and give them money.
And that's his sales pitch. All right. So how many can I put you down for? Thank you very much for listening. This has been Real Geeks covering the Carmilla movie. If you enjoyed that, please like, share, and subscribe, or contact us. Send us an email. It's the hip new things people have been doing for the last 30 years.
Give or take.
You may have heard of it.
Yeah.
Ah, maybe. Mike, what is the place in which they can hit us up digitally over the internet?
Well, you can reach us on email at realgeeksHFX@gmail.com, over Twitter at realgeeksHFX. And since this cannot be said enough, please, of course, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about us, email us to complain, rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, some other podcast app that has a rating option that I don't know about. The more exposure we get, the better.
All of it. Just give me all of it. Do all the ratings. Rate all of the things, but like really well. Give us 5. 5 stars.
5 stars. Hack the internet and get us a 6th star.
Give us the fabled 6th star. Give me the fabled 6th star! Give it to me! Join us next week when we are going to be talking about for week 3 of Pride, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Good old fucking Australian gay film. God, it's fun. It's terrific. Have you seen it before?
Oh, y'all are going to love this because no, I have not.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
So next week should be amazing. We're going to have fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, think you're going to enjoy it. Especially Terrence Stamp. Like, Terrence Stamp commits to being trans femme, and it is incredible.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited just hearing that.
And she can sing ABBA pretty well, too. Anyway, I'm not bullshitting, so look forward to that one. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
See you then, Creep Puffs.